Esto pone el auditivo de Apuji.
Snoop Dogg.
Sports Radio 929 The Game, 929TheGame.com. It's Sam and Greg. Looking forward to this year's Super Bowl halftime show.
Rihanna.
But will it top last year?
I don't know. We got to see.
Yeah, I enjoyed this thing.
Because we weren't sure how that one was going to be, but it ended up being.
But the anticipation for that one was white hot, and it turned out to be everything you expected it to be.
Yeah.
And I looked then, or shortly after that, the game, when the video came out about, you know, they do this every year, you know, the making or putting together of the halftime Super Bowl show. And by the way, thank you for the NFL and thank you for Pepsi for letting us play that. We didn't really ask permission, but you know, it's a Pepsi halftime show, so we got to give a little something there. Have you seen this, the making of that? The intricacies that went into this is different than having one artist and they you know, they block the stage and they block how they're going to move on it and so on and so forth, even if they have a guest. Like when Coldplay did it and Bruno and Beyonce came out. That's one thing. But you had five headliners that were going to be doing this and a mobile stage that had to be brought in. The way they broke it down is you had 3 minutes to get that thing in,
put it
together, and that's not counting the show. And the show was only 14 minutes. But how they logistically put all that together was a great watch. I didn't see it last year when it came out. I checked it out. It came out like a month ago. I've been wanting to see this. And I looked at it and I was like, man, that made that show even more impressive. But again, yeah, looking forward to this year. And believe it or not, I think that's the first time we played Snoop on the show. We had Snoop and Dre. Might have been the first time.
No, I think we had Snoop on.
Well, we're happy to have
him. I think we have it before.
Happy to have him back. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 929 The Game, 929TheGame.com. Eric Coleman is going to join us next as we get ready on this championship weekend. NFC first. And by the way, if you can't get in front of a TV, you can hear the games right here. 2 o'clock pregame, kick at 2:30, followed by AFC championship game. You and I have talked ad nauseum about who we believe is going to be here. I think that first game comes down to one stat. Just one stat. And when you hear that, and it kind of takes you away from the conversation about the quarterbacks and all that other stuff on, you know, the minutia on the sidelines. There's one stat that I have hung on to when it comes to this game.
Which one is that?
The Philly D-line, the entire defensive line of Philadelphia, has double-digit sacks.
Yeah.
Say that out loud. But each one of them.
Yeah. How about that?
It's like that baseball team that has four guys on it that hit 30 home runs. You know, so that's – say what you will about what Jalen Hurst may or may not do. You know, I don't think line play has an ebb and flow to it. You are either really, really good or, as we have talked about Cincinnati's line, Joe Burrow's been beat up quite a bit.
Yep. And that's the thing, you know, coming into this game today. He's going to have to deal with that.
We're going to talk to Eric Coleman about that coming up at 10:20. But off the top here, we have on a couple different occasions talked about this Hawks team as they get ready to take on Portland tomorrow night, but coming off that Clippers loss. And listen, I'm not worried about the powers and who we play out west. You want to win those games, and you want to do what you can on these road trips out west. But this team, I believe, is put together and playing for that Eastern Conference Championship, which means they're going to have to jump over a whole lot of guys in front of us, teams in front of them, who most believe are better than them. And of those teams, pick and choose, they all believe are going to be that team that plays in the Eastern Conference Finals. So whether it's Philadelphia, Brooklyn, I still want to say Jersey.
Brooklyn. Boston.
Yeah. You see, in that game last night?
Yeah.
Miami, you know, is there. Milwaukee, who do you believe is going to be there? And I can guarantee you that the first name does not come out of most basketball fans' mouths are the Atlanta Hawks.
No.
But
no.
All you need is a chance, right?
That's the thing. It didn't come out of their mouths the year that they went to the Eastern Conference Final. No, you know what I mean? So, and we, I won't say we're there again, but we kind of right in that same place as it was then. I mean, we didn't have the coaching change, but I mean,
I also think they snuck up on some folks because people didn't think Trey was going to be that player.
That too. But they started doing some things consistently. You know, they started doing some things like we're starting to do now, but moving the ball around more. And like I said yesterday, the word that Coach Nate McMillan uses, like to use more, is sacrifice. And that's a word that we heard him use a lot when he, you know, was elevated to being the head coach of the team. And he's using that word again. And that's a very important word when you talk about teams where you got a number of people who do the same thing. You know, you got to know, when is it my time to do it? When is it time for me to back out and let somebody else do it? And we've been seeing them just do a better job of that in recent weeks. You want to see the defense ramp up.
Right.
Because that's the thing that made a difference at that time, too. The defense in the late third and the fourth quarter would make a difference in those games. So that's the other thing you want to see. Maybe we'll see it on this road trip. We'll see. But Milwaukee just got a little bit tougher this week with Middleton coming back, man. You're going to see really what Milwaukee can do. They've been playing without that guy, and we remember all too well the impact he had on the Hawks in that playoff.
Again, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Let's take a step back for a second, because before they head on this road trip, they had to take on the Clippers, a team who they beat the last time they were out there. But these guys came in a little bit healthier, and Leonard, 32 points. But Coach Nate, after the game, talked about preparing for those two guys, meaning Leonard and Paul George. Not having? Okay. Well, earlier we had him, you know, just talking about how you have to sort of prepare for both of these guys now healthy.
Yeah, and that they tried different looks defensively against them to not a whole lot of degree of success, but that's what they did last night. And you do what you can do. You try doing some different things defensively. You try denying them the ball if you can and make somebody else beat you. But that's the way those teams are built, and that there's built to be a contending team. Right now the Clippers are four out west, and, you know, we look to see they could be one of the teams that you have to go through in order to come out of the West this year.
Now, if they go out there and they start this road trip and they lose to Portland, see, this is the kind of head-scratching thing that makes you want to walk into traffic, because these boys are looking up at the top 10 teams. In fact, there's one ahead of them. They're looking up at Oklahoma City. So as they approach this road trip and they get there, all right, I tell you what, let's go back for a second. Here's Coach Nate getting ready to head on this road trip, but having it handed to him by the Clippers, and again, his focus is on those two stars.
You know, this just game plan. You know, offensively, they were scoring with single coverage, and, you know, what you try to do is mix up your coverage on Paul and Kawhi, and they made us pay. You know, they kicked the ball out, and those guys were knocking down threes, so kind of pick your poison in that situation. And, you know, they've been shooting the three well here lately, and it's just one of those things where you have to look at situations. Felt like Kawhi had it going. Paul was getting a rhythm, and you try to take the ball out of their hands, and they did a good job of getting the ball out and those perimeter guys knocking down shots.
Everything that he just said, can't you just say that every time in describing this Clippers team? When you talk about Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, Eric gave me the stat. They were 50% from three-point range.
Yeah.
You know, so. Again, we're sitting here in January. Whatever needs to be tweaked, worked on,
and that's healthy. And that's the other thing now. We got a trade deadline that's coming up. So, you know, and people tried to ask him about that last night, and he would not mention it. He says, you know, trade deadline's coming up. Coach says, what do you feel this team needs? What would you want them to get you more of? And he says, we're not going to talk about that.
Yeah, well, you don't want to say nothing about, you know, oh, we need a power forward. Well, that's going to make the person who's playing power forward feel a certain kind of way.
Well,
so
you know,
you're
not
going
to do that. No, he said, I'm dealing with the players we got here and trying to get us to the playoffs and whatnot. So, you know, what are you going to do? You have that time. There's that possibility. You know, we always talk about trades for different people and who would be most attractive and get this team something else that it would need to help them elevate more when they get to the postseason. Is there someone out there, someone that want to make a deal with somebody that we have? That's the thing that we, you know, we're waiting to see. You keep hearing John Collins' name thrown around. Do you want to put Bogey out there, whatnot? We got this group together, and to me, I'd like to see just if we get them healthy, what we can do. The back end, to me, the second unit is coming along. You know, to me, their progress got held back because there were so many starters out. And those guys were having to fill in and play some different roles. Now let's get them solidified in their role, because that's the other part that was strong with this team when they ascended. The second unit would come off the bench, and sometimes they could come in and do some things that the starters weren't doing. You know, so I don't think this second unit is up to that yet, but that's an important part of it. And to me, that's still something that's developing.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. I want to ask you a serious question right now, and if you want to pass it on.
Serious?
Yeah. Is it serious? Well, not too serious, but I want to ask you a question, and if you can't answer it, maybe Eric can jump in. But let's say you're talking to somebody else who doesn't live in this city, and you're trying to describe this Hawks team, and you are talking about the coach. And my question to you is this. What is Nate McMillan's strong point? What is the thing that makes him a really good coach, if you want to, or a great coach, whatever you feel about him? And that could be a calming voice in the locker room, a command of whatever it is.
I think he's pretty even keel, at least what he shows us. Now, when the doors are closed at practice, we're not in there. We can't hear what he says. But I think he keeps an even keel even when the team's going through a bad straight. You don't hear him panic. And I think that is a strength, because there's some coaches that will let you know some things are getting under their skin, or if, you know, he feels like somebody's cheating him and not giving him what they need to give, you may hear a coach say something in that way. He's not that. And for this team, maybe that's a good thing. And maybe some people want to see him, want to know he's in there. Throwing some chairs around us.
Yeah, we were talking about Indiana University earlier in the show.
Yeah, right, you know what I mean? But so some people probably want to know that some of that's going on.
Okay, well then let me put it this way.
Yeah.
The calming voice, wherever it may be, you know, on the bench, in the locker room, wherever. But is his strongest asset what he does as far as adjustments, or on the defensive or offensive side of the ball, of the court, if you will? In other words, this is an offensive-minded coach. This is a defensive-minded coach. Oh, this dude makes adjustments better than anybody else. Of those three, if you had to, and I'm sure you didn't think about it when we started the show today, but if you had to think of one, what would you say is his strong point?
I would say, because he's a point guard as a player.
Yep.
All right. That's probably what is probably his strong point.
So, having said that, do you think that's part of the reason and part of the problem and the angst that he had, or allegedly had, weeks ago when we all heard about, you know, some rough people getting their feathers ruffled on the team?
Well, I mean, it goes back before that, because he went out to Oklahoma to visit with Trey before the season started. I mean, the head coach is doing that.
But that's his star.
But I'm saying you go in to try to get on the same page, so you alleviate some of that. You figure during the course of the season there will be some of that. Mm-hmm. But you go do something during the off season, before the season, even try to, like, I don't want to like put foam on the runway, some of that, you know what I mean? So I think he was smart enough to do that. I don't know if it was his idea. I don't know if somebody came to him. Hey, why don't you go out there and spend some time with him? I don't know where that came from. We just know that he did.
And it did. But like I said, my only wonder is that the heads that may have butted together is because his star player plays the same position he did. And he may feel like, hey, I've already done this. I know what will work this way. And the other one's going, yeah, that was yesterday.
This is the pros now. This is not Steve Spurrier down in Florida.
Very good way to end this one. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. And take us with you on the Odyssey app. Game.com. It's Sam and Greg. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a guest coming on here, but I want to tell you that every once in a while, I'm just honored to do what I do. I have fun with this man who I do this show with and have been doing with for 8+ years. But every once in a while, he gives me what he gives you regularly, and that's a piece of information about something. And we just sort of morphed into this conversation because we were talking college football and college sports last segment, and he just enlightened me to the change in college football, the landscape, and how it changed, you know, a number of decades ago. And we will at some point have this conversation on the air.
Will we?
Why not? I don't have a problem with it.
Okay.
But again, I'm just saying, I loved what you just, the last 5 minutes, I could have sat here and it was like being in a class. But we got a guest we got to bring on.
We got a guest,
man. And who would love to be here too? He'd love to hear from you too. Eric Coleman, we haven't talked to you in a while. We want to welcome you this morning. Thanks for getting up. And how have you been, man?
I've been great. I've been great. It's been a fantastic NFL season. Definitely blessed and excited to be on the show with you guys, man. It has been a while, so you know I'm excited to talk some championship football weekend.
Thoughts about the playoffs, period, first of all, you know, and what are your impressions of what you got to see? The emergence of Jacksonville getting through the first round.
Oh, yeah.
You know, your thoughts about that. Cowboys, you're disappointed or whatnot, but your thoughts of the and Brady and where does he land next year? Do you want him on your team?
We're gonna make it the whole show without bringing his name up.
Well, I'm just saying what your thoughts of what we've seen in these playoffs up to this point.
Well, you know, the playoffs has been very exciting. You know, they've been a little surprising. You know, going back to, like, let's say Miami and Buffalo. You know, I think everyone expected Buffalo to be making a run for the Super Bowl. And you know, when they beat Miami, it was a lot closer than people anticipated with the third string quarterback. And then, of course, they were just trounced last week, you know, by the Cincinnati Bengals. That was a little strange. I always love the playoffs because this is the time the stars are born. You know, you start to see people come out of their shells. You start to see like a Trevor Lawrence. You can see that he's going to be a great one. There's going to be a lot of great battles in the AFC conference for years to come with all the talent at the quarterback position in the AFC. But just really overall excited about the championship weekend. I think we have four great football games. And this is always, to me, this is like the Super Bowl because these are the two best games that you're going to find during the season. And it's super excited for it tonight.
Eric Coleman joining Sam and Greg here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. We'll get back to dissecting the games, but I want to ask you a question personally because Sam and I talk, you know, we cover a lot of sports and we talk about different things, and especially when stuff happens, we like to speculate on what's going to happen next. Example, we can now talk about the safety things that are now part of NASCAR since Dale Earnhardt died on the track and the things that they've implemented to make things a lot safer. My question for you is this. We all watched what happened with Buffalo on Monday Night Football and DeMar Hamlin. What, in your mind, do you think should be or a noticeable change, if anything, with the way the NFL, more importantly, the medical staff, approaches players' safety and how they when they get injured on the field? Is there anything that we learned from that and that we hope to see differently moving forward?
Well, you know, I think what we learned was how prepared the NFL is, you know, for these things to happen. You know, from having the meetings with 30 plus staff before the game to understanding the routes to the hospitals, having a protocol, that was exciting for me. I never knew that was in place. You know, I didn't know that it was, you know, that drawn out. And I thought that they did a great job of reacting to DeMar Hamlin. You know, and as far as that injury, you know, it's tough. You know, it's tough as a player. You know, when I saw it, I was very emotional because, you know, I played the same position. I've made that tackle 100 times, and it just was a stroke of bad luck, I believe. So, you know, it's not one of those, in my opinion, it's not one of those scenarios where, you know, you have to make a bunch of rule changes because, you know, this is a violent game. This is a physical game, and things are going to happen. It's very unfortunate. I'm thankful that DeMar is in recovery and going to get back to being his self. But definitely a scary time. And I think if I learned anything, it was how well prepared the league is, how well prepared the medical staffs are, and how well informed they are. I thought they did a great job with that. But you know, obviously you never want to see that happen again. So, you know, I'm not sure really what you can do to make changes in it, but I thought they did a phenomenal job.
Indeed. We're spending time on the WaitForIt.com hotline with former Falcon safety Eric Coleman. He is social. You can find him on Twitter at Eric Coleman. That's E-R-I-K-C-O-L-E-M-A-N, all lowercase. And he's got a lot of things there. He follows the National Football League. Maybe he has some things for you today as he follows these conference championship games. First up, 49ers and Eagles. And let me ask you something, Eric. If you're in that defensive unit for the Eagles, how do you approach this Brock Purdy guy who just keeps on winning? Can you do something to get him rattled?
Well, I mean, if I'm on the Eagles defense, I'm I'm excited. I'm excited about this opportunity. This is a fantastic defense. I think 70 sacks this year, that's the third most all time. This defensive line, it just gets after it. And I think that's going to be the key for the Eagles' success, is to continue to have pressure on Brock Purdy. They have the luxury. The Eagles have the luxury of being able to play coverage, play man-to-man coverage with a free safety, and understanding that we don't really need the blitz every time for our defensive line to get to the quarterback. So that's a big advantage, I think, on the Eagles' side. But, I mean, this kid is tough. Brock Purdy, he plays well under pressure. I think he handles different circumstances well. The Eagles are going to be relying heavily on their crowd noise. This is only Purdy's third away game that he's played in the NFL, and what an atmosphere he's going to be going into at the link. So it's going to be an exciting game. Big opportunity for the Philadelphia Eagles to advance to the next round.
And we had talked earlier about the sacks on that defensive line for Philadelphia. Each one of them have double-digit sacks. So, yeah, you're talking about them having the most or third most in league history. But now you have to ask yourself, and we got a little bit of experience of this here in Atlanta, and that is, what sort of adjustments will Kyle Shanahan make to approach this defense that has been such a terror this year? Moreover, making this adjustments with a rookie quarterback. Are you confident that can be done if you're a 49ers fan?
Yeah, if I'm a 49ers fan, you have the best coach for this scenario. With the speed of the defensive line, with the anticipation they have, there's no better coach to call plays offensively against that. And Kyle Shanahan does a phenomenal job of putting, you know, the window dressing. I call it the window dressing when you do the abracadabra and then do the play. It's the same play, but it just looks so different. And he forces defenses to communicate, to think, to adjust to the shifts and motions that they do, and that causes a little hesitation in the defense. So I think that he can slow this defense down by some of the misdirections, some of the shifts and motions that he does so well. And Brock Purdy is a perfect quarterback. He's mobile. You know, he plays well under pressure. They have a ton of talent offensively with the skill positions. So I think this is a team where there's going to be a lot of screens, a lot of misdirections to try to slow down the pursuit of this Philadelphia Eagles defense. So I think Kyle Shanahan is the perfect guy for it. And that's why, I host a betting show, and it's so hard to bet this game because these two teams, you never know. You don't know if Brock Purdy is going to show up. You don't know which 49ers offense is going to show up. You don't know if the defense for the Eagles is going to be, you know, that top-rated pressure defense that they've been all season long. It's going to be very exciting. I'm excited to watch this game.
Eric, real quick, because bring our audience into the huddle as best you can. Realize you're on the defensive side of the ball, but during practices, whatever, when you would, you know, your offensive teammates, friends, whatever, when they talk about a quarterback who comes in and commands the huddle, what are some of the things that they do? Now, we know about the confidence that's there, but they're intangibles, obviously, because there's no book for this. What is it that you have heard that this guy brings to that huddle that makes him special, that most rookies don't have?
Yeah, well, you know, I believe it's that confidence. It's that confidence going into the huddle and understanding that you are in charge. Everyone in that huddle is looking for you for answers and direction. You know, I kind of went through this my rookie year in the NFL when I was playing with the Jets. I was put into the starting lineup, you know, in training camp. And one of my coaches, he was yelling at me. He said, "I don't care if you're wrong, just be loud and wrong. Be commanding. Everyone is waiting for you to go. And if we're all wrong, we're all right." And that's kind of the thing with Brock Purdy, is he's super confident. He's commanding of the players. And that's all we want. That's all we want is direction. Understand that we're all on the same page. We just want to know where to go. And that's what he does a great job of doing.
He just said
the Hank Aaron thing.
Yeah, loud and wrong.
Loud and wrong.
Well, in the other game, now you got quarterbacks that we kind of know what to expect from. If we don't know what to expect from Purdy in this situation, and you know, in the Chiefs and Bengals games, we got two guys that we know. We got a question about the health of one, but we know what we're getting with these two guys.
Oh yeah, this is a Super Bowl right here. Kansas City Chiefs and the Cincinnati Bengals. Joe Burrow's 3-0 against his Bengals team, against his Chiefs team. They're starting to call it Burrowhead Stadium, and it's for a reason.
Geez.
You know, Joe Burrow, He's one of those guys that he's so cool and confident under pressure that he's always mellow. He never gets too high, doesn't get too low, and he has a ton of weapons at his disposal. So you look for a lot of points in this matchup with the Bengals. And when you look at Patrick Mahomes, I mean, one of the best to do it, Andy Reid, Eric Bieniemy, and this offense do such a great job of keeping teams off balance. I think coming into this season, everyone expected a drop-off for the Chiefs with no Tyreek Hill in the lineup, missing some of the receivers. But Patrick Mahomes has done a great job with the talent that he has around him to get the most out of them. Travis Kelce's having a phenomenal year, and as well as Juju Smith-Schuster and the other role players on that team. But I do expect the Chiefs to try to slow this game down and run the football, keep Patrick Mahomes in that pocket. He didn't go out of the pocket once after his injury in that last game. So I expect a lot of quick passes, run game, and trying to control the clock for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Eric, I know, and listen, I agree with everything you said, but Sam and I have been going back and forth with this all day long. When you look at that Joe Burrow, and being the top quarterback in the league, I can't get past seeing Macaulay Culkin. I just can't, man. I mean, the best quarterback in the NFL looks like dude, the kid from Home Alone, and I mean pretty much the same age. I mean, God bless him. I mean, he got all those other intangibles that you say, but I don't know. I'm just having a hard time getting past that. Let me ask you this about this AFC right now. This is another thing that Mr. Crenshaw and I have talked about as we sit and watch what's going on right now with this array of young quarterbacks. It takes us back to a time when we were kids coming up when that AFC used to fight between the Steelers and the Raiders and who's the other team that was big? Dolphins, all those teams that kept beating the you-know-what out of each other every year, and that triumvirate of three teams seemed to always be in the Super Bowl and definitely in the championship game. Is this where we are right now with the AFC? They're going to have the attractive side as far as the NFC and the AFC with these quarterbacks.
I believe so. I believe so. Yeah, you look at the quarterbacks in the AFC. I mean, Josh Allen with Buffalo, Joe Burrow with Cincinnati, Patrick Mahomes, and then you got other guys like Justin Herbert. You know, there's just so much talent at that quarterback position. And typically there's always one difference maker, but when you get to the championship weekend, it's usually the four best quarterbacks that are playing. You know, every once in a while, there's an outlier with a team with a phenomenal defense, like, you know, the Baltimore Ravens of 2000. You look at the 49ers this year, number one defense in the league. Every once in a while, there's an outlier, but most of the time, there's the best quarterbacks. Four best quarterbacks are playing in this championship weekend, and I don't see these teams slowing down. I mean, they're just getting better and better every year at the quarterback position, and the AFC in particular is going to be a tough place to get out of. I don't know. You know, if you're in the NFC, you got to be super comfortable understanding that your path is a lot easier than the AFC right now.
This is interesting, and I really want to get your take on it. I'm not trying to make you feel uncomfortable. But as you named all these young quarterbacks in the AFC, and rightfully so, Trevor Lawrence is what's going to be next. He'll probably join this group. But the one name we keep forgetting, and it ain't like he already set the league on fire, but he's been gone a minute. What are your thoughts on Deshaun Watson?
Oh, Deshaun Watson, man. You know, I figured that Deshaun Watson was going to struggle this year. You know, being out of the game for 2 years, it's hard to be removed from the game. Especially playing that position. You know, there's so much that you have to see, there's so much you have to anticipate, and so much trust that you have to gain with your teammates. You know, missing 2 years of that is going to take him some time to get back acclimated. I do think that Deshaun Watson is a phenomenal quarterback. He was in Houston. He has been his whole career. Once he has a nice offseason with his receiving core, getting back into the fold, getting a full offseason, getting a full training camp, I think you'll see strides, big strides, from Deshaun Watson this year in Cleveland.
Fantastic. That fantastic is, stuff. Great stuff.
We got to give
stuff.
Some for Eric. Unless you got a question. Go ahead.
No.
Talk to Eric, our producer here. Where does Lamar Jackson land?
Oh, I mean, Sam
does he stay
brought
with
it
Baltimore?
Up earlier. well, Sam brought it up earlier, talking about Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady coming to the Jets. I mean, how cool would it be for Lamar Jackson to be in New York? I know I'd be excited,
Eric,
about that. No, but I do. No, I don't. To be honest, though, I don't see Baltimore letting him go. They've built their whole offense around Lamar Jackson. He's a great teammate. He's a great player. He's a great face of the franchise. You know, if I'm Baltimore, I'm not letting this guy go out of the door. He's a generational player. So, you know, I do think he'll stay in Baltimore for the next five, 6 years.
Yeah. Thank you. Are you listening, Steve Bisciotti? Open that checkbook.
I did that for you,
open
man.
It up. Open it up.
I did that for you,
hey,
Eric.
That man.
There you go.
Eric, we appreciate you getting up and getting us ready for these conference championships today. Always great to catch up with you.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks so much for the time.
Have a good day, Eric.
Sam, Greg, thank you. You guys have a wonderful weekend.
Oh, I appreciate it.
All right, now.
See, you've been helpful today. I want to get that Baltimore little take in there for you. I don't know where he's going to land, but this is going to be one of those interesting stories in the offseason. Sam and I are going to wrap things up and get you ready for today's matchups. Up next, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Take us with you on the Odyssey app.
Radio 99 The Game and 99TheGame.com. Sam and Greg with you, all wrapping things up on this Sunday morning. It's game day Sunday morning.
Oh, bless you. Thank
what?
You.
What?
No, that's what. Well, you know what's what. We thought about this yesterday, y'all, but we ain't going to get it. I'm so happy you did that. Feed the audience. Feed us. Folks been waiting for that for 3 months from you. And every time we're on the air, there's a game, and you just make us wait.
Now, the song we just heard.
Yes.
You know what that was?
I know who it was, but why was there a significance?
This week
we
lost
it?
One of the founders of the band.
Yes, we did.
Dean Daughtry, the keyboards for Atlanta Rhythm Section.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the song Champagne Jam. You ever hear about the Champagne Jams that they had here in town?
No, like Mr. Crenshaw, tell us about those.
Those were in the 70s. I think there was one in 78 and 79. And these were over at Bobby Dodd Stadium, Grant Field. And as you imagine, it's the 70s.
Right.
You could smoke. And so there was a big cloud, big, massive cloud.
Wait, hang on a second. People did smoke. They weren't allowed to smoke.
Well, they smoked, but they just
did it.
That was a massive cloud over that stadium, man.
I do not know.
With people there. I think like the lineup that they had in 78. I think they had Santana, Doobie Brothers, Eddie Money, Mother's Finest, 79. Heart,
that show.
Heart, Cheap Trick.
That dude owes me money.
Aerosmith, Bob Seger, Dixie Dregs.
Who would be the headliner in that show?
Bob Seger
and Aerosmith, at least back in the 70s.
Who you know what they talked about? The big problem was breaking down the stages back then. We just talked about the Super Bowl show and how quickly they do that stuff now. But back then when those bands would come on and they wanted their sets, they wanted their
–
you would wait for a while for them, to set those things up, especially an outdoor venue. That would take a while. But, yeah, they would have that in the Atlanta Rhythm Section. It was really popular during that time. They had a time when they really swung. So. Just wanted to make sure and play a little Champagne Jam.
We used to play that down the dial. I'm surprised you threw that out there. Nice move, Mr. Crenshaw.
Man. There we go.
We are getting set for a championship day. No, I was just saying thank you for the game day because we've been waiting on it. We really have.
Okay.
And it is a game day. We have got NFL championship action going on. First game, NFC championship game, 2 o'clock pregame, kick 2:30. And, of course, followed by the AFC championship game. Of the two, do you care one way or the other? Are you just happy to watch football for hours at some point starting today at 3 o'clock?
Just get 3 o'clock and just watch a couple of games. And you tune in the game is an hour before the game because, you know, the next time they come on, the pregame is like 5 hours.
I'm going to tell you.
Super Bowl pregame, man.
I'm going to tell you something, though. For the first time probably in my lifetime, I'm looking forward to this new – well, I'm looking forward to the Pro Bowl weekend, if you will, because we know it ain't going to be just the game.
Yeah.
They've got all these skill things coming up. I'm looking forward to that, man. They've made it a lot like the NHL.
But they still play a game.
All-Star Game weekend. They do, and they're going to have a flag football game, though. They ain't playing, with the pads, because that's even worse. At least you know they're trying with the flags, flag football game, because we weren't even trying during the other one, and that's why they changed it. So I'm looking forward to all of this. That's the first time that's happened.
We're going to see what it looks like. We're going to see what it looks like.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing it.
See what it rolls out next week.
What do we know about the NFL?
It will be different.
What do we know? One thing, if we know nothing else about the NFL, they know how to put on a TV show.
Yeah.
We do know that. And so that's what I'm saying. I'm looking forward to it. Expectations are high.
I'm curious.
You still got to y'all got to show me something.
I'm still curious. This is something new, and I think it's a curiosity.
But you hated the game.
But we'll see.
You hated that game.
Yeah, yeah.
You were so – anytime we brought it, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to talk about it. And listen, I don't blame you.
You know,
it was insulting.
Well, then they brought it back, and they brought it back from Hawaii, where it was like a paid vacation. At least you were going out. You going to Hawaii? You take your family with you for a week. I mean, that was
if you had a family.
Yeah, there you go.
If you had a family, I don't know. Would you say the majority of the NFL players are married or single?
I wouldn't know.
I wouldn't know either. But I was just again throwing out something that you may be able to guess at. The reason I'm asking is I think that if it's more single, they would prefer going to Vegas,
yeah,
than going to Hawaii. And if they're in the NFL, you can afford a Hawaii trip with your family where you don't have to go to work and get away from your family, which is what you would have to do if you were in the Pro Bowl at some point. And you leave, you know, your significant other and the kids, they'd go and spend your money.
Go and spend your money. You make it sound like it's such
a
delightful
thing. That's what they always said. They said, oh, yeah, we get to Hawaii and my wife is out there, she's spending my money. You'd hear that from players all the time. There's a different deal going on now that Vegas. And by the way, now that Vegas is a play in the sports world, it's fun watching all these championship and all-star games and things like that gravitating toward that city. Because it's just, you think about the way, why don't we have this in Vegas? Why don't we get a team? Oh, no, we can't do that. You know what will happen once the gamblers get involved. And now.
We found out what Washington is going to have, what a kiosk or whatever in their stadium next year for the NFL.
What's that?
They're going to have a place where you can do your sports book in the stadium. Eventually, that's coming to everybody.
I was just going
to
say, is that a Daniel Snyder?
Oh,
thing,
I don't know. I don't know.
You said Washington.
Yeah, Washington. Yeah, but I mean, that's.
Could he do anything to keep himself in that position as owner of that team? Could he do anything at this point? Because I would imagine there's a mechanism in place as we sit here that is churning 24/7 trying to figure out the best way to remove him. And it's in constant contact with the league and investors and people on the board and anything else. Because this dude.
They haven't brought it all together yet. They're trying to get the right combination.
There's a phrase that, you know, I just remember a couple months back when he said, you know, he threatened the other owners. Pulled one of them Kanye moves. I'm going to go DEFCON 3 on these other owners if they start trying to mess with me.
Right.
I remember that. And so I just wonder, has the cast already been dyed? There's the die cast. I've been having a hard time putting sentences together this morning.
No, you haven't.
I just have been. I'm talking too fast still.
You have that one.
I'm trying to find my voice here. Hey, we haven't mentioned at one point, congratulations again to Fred McGriff, because the ceremony is now complete with Scott Rolen this past week being voted in. Fred McGriff being named in. Those are the only two. Talking about putting together a TV show, they're going to be a short one for this year's Hall of Fame induction.
Yeah. I think they still have like a contributor or somebody like that from the broadcast wing. Somebody like that can still.
Isn't this the Joe Buck year? Or was that last year? I think Joe Buck got in.
You know, but they could still have someone come be a part of it that way.
Again, just surprising that it's only the one person. But then again, when you think about it and you think about the guys who are eligible and who's being cast this certain way or that way, steroids, I'm not that surprised. I absolutely believe that the next voting by ex-players, Andrew Jones will get in. I don't know who else is sitting out there other than the guys who are connected with steroids, if they decide to put one of them in. But if there isn't one, I don't understand why Andrew wouldn't be there, especially when you talk about players making the vote, because every player that played during that time or watched, if you're a younger player, during that time.
They know
who the top center fielders were in baseball during that 10-year span. And if you want to start with Griffey, cool. But you ain't getting far after that without mentioning Andrew Jones.
Yep. Very much. Just a matter of time. We feel like we get him in there.
No sounder, so I'm just going to knock this. I didn't know if he was ready to hit that thing there. We good?
He said, go ahead.
All right, and we're off. Sam, did you know on this date, before we get on out of here, that it was recorded, the first performance of Romeo and Juliet happened? Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet was performed for the first time on this date in 1595.
Whoa.
Yeah. Wonder what that theater looked like.
Speaking
of things happening for the first time,
The Raven.
Was published by Edgar Allan Poe.
More Baltimore.
Yes. Here's something I didn't know. I'm going to pronounce this wrong. Lili Ukalani. She was the queen of Hawaii. Did you know they had queens in Hawaii?
No, I didn't.
She was the last monarch. Yeah. I mean, they didn't become a state till 1959, but they had something going on there before that. This young artist started working on this day, 1920, took a job at KC Slide Company, a young artist named Walt Disney.
Whoa.
Yes.
Yeah.
Started working at that place. Began working at KC Slide Company and was making $40 a week. I have told you that there, in the history of everything, there was a first day for it. Are you ready for this? Ice cream cones.
Whoa.
In
today?
1924, were rolled for the first time on a machine. Okay. The machine was patented. The rolling machine was patented.
It had to start somewhere.
It did. In the first day of everything. 1929. This is not funny. It's just one of those things. Again, the first time it happened. Seeing eye guide dogs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Were organized on this day. Formed on this day. First time, 1929. 1936, the first class of baseball's Hall of Fame went in. You want to tell me who those guys were? How many could you guess? From the inaugural class of baseball's Hall of Fame.
Cobb and Ruth.
Yep. You got a few more.
I'm just thinking Cobb, Ruth.
Honus. Wagner.
Honus Wagner.
Christie.
Okay.
Matheson. Yep, and one more. Walter Johnson.
Walter Johnson. Okay.
There you go.
All right.
Happy Chandler. Find the Yankees, the Cubs, and the Phillies on this day for drafting high school players.
Really?
Yes. And I initially, you know, my mouth opened up and I went, wow, they did that bad. But then I remembered there is a guy who's noted for being the youngest player in baseball history, and that's Joe Nuxall.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he was 15 years old. So yeah. That was a thing back then.
Broadcaster for the Reds for a long time.
Yeah, he was. Sleeping Beauty was released on this day. I forgot to bring this up earlier when we had Tanitra on because we're talking about Louisiana, but the most lopsided high school basketball game score was recorded on this day, and it happened in 1964. A high school in Louisiana won their game 211-29.
Oh.
The AL approved the sale of the Chicago White Sox on this day to Reinsdorf and Eddie Einhorn. Speaking of Illinois, Rob Blagojevich was removed from office on this day. I bet that dude was. Rob Blagojevich and his haircut. Yeah, he was removed from office. You remember what for?
No.
He was trying to sell Obama's Senate seat, among other things.
Oh.
And he followed in the long line of Illinois politicians and governors, so he did what he's supposed to do. Black Panther premiered on this day.
Okay.
There you go.
All right.
You guys enjoy your championship. I'm going to make Mr. Crenshaw do it one more time. In championship games, but again, if you can't get in front of a TV, you can see the NFC championship or listen to it right here. 2 o'clock pregame, kick at 2:30, followed by the AFC game. Want to remind you, tomorrow night, Hawks at Portland. You can hear that game here. In fact, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, Hawks are out playing Portland, Phoenix, and Utah. You can hear all those games right here on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Eric, thank you for everything that you have done today. Mr. Crenshaw, have yourself a big week.
I'm back here tomorrow with Randy McMichael in for Andy Bunker tomorrow midday. And then Wednesday, don't forget, we're wrapping up National Signing Day here on Sports Radio 99 The Game. So make sure you want to check in and check us out.
And I'll be on with Cannon tomorrow on Star 94 with Casting Call and with Ramona on Tuesday doing Casting Call. For everybody else, we can't thank you enough for making us a part of your morning. Have yourself a big week. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. And, yep, you can take us with you on the Odyssey app.